Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Whiskey, or whiskey, depending on where you're standing, is more than a drink. It's a story of monks and kings, smugglers and scientists, of cold northern rain turned to gold by fire and patience. Its history stretches back over 1,000 years, and every drop carries with it the echoes of rebellion, invention and the slow mastery of craft. Today, we talk about the tale of how whiskey, once seen as a fiery water of life, became one of the world's most celebrated spirits. Welcome to History Unpacked. If you enjoy the content, consider subscribing. We post every week and we welcome any feedback. We hope you enjoy today's episode. The name whiskey comes from the Gaelic whisky beatha, literally water of life. But the story starts long before the Scots or Irish began distilling anything drinkable. Distillation itself likely began in ancient Mesopotamia or Egypt, where early alchemists tried to trap the essence of plants and metals. By the time of the Roman Empire, scholars like Pliny were experimenting with heating and condensing vapors, though not yet for alcohol. The technique traveled through the Arab world, refined by Islamic alchemists in the early Middle Ages, who gave us the word alcohol itself, from al-kul, meaning a purified essence. These scholars used distillation to make medicines, perfumes, and eventually spirits. When the knowledge reached Christian Europe around the 12th century, monks and scholars adapted it for their own purposes, especially in medicine. By the 13th century, monastic distillers in Ireland and Scotland were producing something fierce and fiery, a primitive spirit used as a tonic, not as a pleasure. It burned the throat, it warmed the chest, and was thought to cure everything from colds to melancholy. They called it the water of life. Over time, the name was shortened, slurred, and softened into whiskey. Who invented whiskey? The Irish or the Scots? That's a debate as old as the spirit itself. The earliest written record of whiskey comes from Scotland, dated 1494, in the Exchequer Rolls. 8 bowls of malt to Friar John Corr by order of the king to make aqua vitae. That much malt would have produced nearly 500 bottles of spirit, suggesting whiskey making was already well established. But the Irish claimed their monks brought distillation from continental Europe to their green shores earlier, perhaps in the 11th century. The Irish spirit, smoother and triple distilled, would become known for its purity. The Scottish one, double distilled and smoky, developed through its rugged character from peat fires and Highland weather. While the two nations perfected their own methods, whiskey was never just a drink. It was part of the national identity. To the Irish, it was civilization against English oppression. To the Scots, it was pride, defiance, and heritage. Fast forward to the 17th and 18th centuries. Whiskey had become a fixture in Scottish and Irish life. But with popularity came taxation. In 1644, the Scottish Parliament imposed its first excise duty on whiskey. Predictably, the response was rebellion. In the Highlands, families built hidden stills in glens and caves, distilling under moonlight. The government sent excisemen to hunt them, but the locals were experts at deception. Streams were diverted to hide the sound of running water, barrels were buried in peat bogs, and entire villages would alert smugglers when taxmen approached. By the late 1700s, it's estimated that more than half the whisky in Scotland was produced illegally. Smuggling became not just a crime, but a national pastime, a cat and mouse game between cunning distillers and weary taxmen. Meanwhile, in Ireland, legal distilleries flourished under somewhat lighter regulation. Dublin became a whisky capital, home to giants like John Jameson and George Rowe. Irish whiskey was exported across the British Empire, famed for its smoothness and consistency, while Scottish whisky remained largely a rough, local product. For a time, Ireland dominated the whisky world. Everything changed in the 19th century. The Industrial Revolution transformed whisky from a cottage craft into a global industry. In 1823, the British government passed the Excise Act, which legalised distillation for a reasonable fee. Suddenly, legitimate distillers could compete fairly, and the age of large, efficient Scotch distilleries began. Then came a technological revolution. In the 1830s, Irishman Aeneas Coffey invented the continuous still. Unlike the traditional pot still, which had to be cleaned and refilled after each batch, Coffey's could still produce spirit continuously with remarkable efficiency. The result was a lighter, cleaner whisky, and that was ideal for blending. Scottish entrepreneurs quickly adopted the new technology. They began blending the lighter grain whisky from Coffey stills with the heavier malt whiskies of the Highlands. The result was a balanced, approachable drink, smoother than traditional Scotch, but still rich with character. Brands like Johnnie Walker, Chivas and Dewars were born. Ironically, the Irish, proud of their pot still tradition, rejected Coffey's invention, dismissing it as inferior. That decision would haunt them for the next century. Sometimes fortune favours the bold, and sometimes the unlucky. In the 1870s, a microscopic pest called Phylloxera ravaged Europe's vineyards, destroying the grapes that produced wine, brandy, and cognac. For years, French spirits were unavailable. Whiskey, especially Scotch, rushed in to fill the void. British merchants, already dominating world trade, shipped blended Scotch to every corner of the empire. From India to Canada, from Africa to Australia, whiskey became the drink of the modern age. Its image shifted, no longer the crude burn of smugglers, firewater, but the sophisticated choice of gentlemen and officers. The irony was brutal. Irish whiskey, once the global leader, began to lose ground. Scotland's embrace of blending and modernisation had given it an unbeatable edge. Across the Atlantic, whisky took on a new life. Irish and Scottish immigrants brought their craft to the New World, where abundant corn, rye and barley offered new possibilities. In Pennsylvania and Kentucky, farmers distilled surplus grain into a fiery spirit, the ancestor of American whisky. By the late 18th century, bourbon had emerged, named for Bourbon County in Kentucky. It used at least 51% corn, aged in new charred oak barrels, giving it a rich amber colour and notes of vanilla and caramel. In Tennessee, another style evolved, smoother, filtered through charcoal, famously embodied by Jack Daniels. But American whiskey's rise wasn't smooth either. In 1791, when the new US government imposed a tax on spirits, farmers revolted in what became known as the Whiskey Rebellion. George Washington himself led troops to suppress it, a sign of just how deeply whiskey was woven into national identity. Over time, American whiskey carved out its own place. Less refined perhaps than Scotch, but deeply democratic, the drink of pioneers and presidents alike. Then came disaster. In 1920, the United States enacted prohibition, banning the sale and production of alcohol. Overnight, a major market for whiskey vanished. Legitimate distilleries shut down. Smugglers, bootleggers, and gangsters took their place. Scotch and Canadian whiskies were smuggled across borders, often in barrels labeled as medical supplies. While American whiskey survived underground, Irish whiskey was hit hardest. Already struggling from the independence wars, trade blockades and outdated methods, Ireland's once mighty whisky industry collapsed. By the mid-20th century, only a handful of Irish distilleries remained. Scotch, though battered, did endure, and when Prohibition ended in 1933, it returned stronger than ever, with established global brands ready to serve thirsty markets. After World War II, whisky became an international symbol of sophistication. Advertisements showed sleek men in suits, women in silk dresses, clinking glasses by candlelight, Scotch on the rocks entered pop culture. By the 1950s and 60s, whiskey was big business. Japan, rebuilding after the war, took inspiration from Scotch. Pioneers who had studied distilling in Scotland founded Japanese distilleries such as Nikka and Suntory. Their whiskies, aged carefully in Japanese oak, would one day rival the Scots in quality and acclaim. Meanwhile, Scotch diversified. There was light floral lowland malts, smoky maritime island whiskies, and honeyed highland drams. Each region developed its own character, giving connoisseurs an endless palette of flavours. Blended whiskey dominated sales, smoother, more consistent, easier for the global palate. But by the 1980s and 1990s, a new movement emerged: single malts. Consumers wanted authenticity, heritage, and craftsmanship. Names like Glenfiddich and Macallan became icons. Today, whiskey is more international than ever. Once the pride of Gaelic monks, it's now produced everywhere from Taiwan to Tasmania. In the US, the craft distilling revolution has revived small batch bourbon and rye. Japan has now become a world leader. Even India, once a massive importer, now produces award-winning single malts like Amrut. The word whiskey itself varies by tradition. The Scots, Canadians, and Japanese use whiskey. The Irish and Americans prefer whiskey. Both trace their roots to the water of life. Whiskey has also become a collector's dream. Rare bottles sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars at auction. Some distilleries released ultra-aged editions, aged half a century or more, each sip a liquid time capsule. And yet the spirit's heart remains humble, the slow alchemy of grain, water, yeast, wood, and time. But what makes whiskey, whiskey? It's not just alcohol, it's a transformation. The spirit that drips from the still is clear, raw, almost flavourless. It becomes whiskey only through years of rest in oak casks. Inside those barrels, something happens. The wood breathes, expanding and contracting with temperature changes. Whiskey seeps into its pores, drawing out vanillin, tannins, and caramelized sugars. Over time, the fiery rawness mellows, replaced by complexity, smoke, honey, fruit, or spice. Every cask is unique. The environment, the humidity, and even sea air shape the final taste. On Islay, peat smoke gives whiskies their signature medicinal tang. In the highlands, cool air and mountain water lend purity and balance. In Kentucky, heat accelerates aging, yielding rich, sweet bourbon. The process can't be rushed. Time, the most expensive ingredient, is also the most crucial. That's why whiskey making remains as much an art as a science. Beyond chemistry and commerce, whiskey carries meaning. It's been a comfort to soldiers, a muse to poets, a symbol of hospitality and pride. Robert Burns wrote of good old Scotch drink. American bluesmen sang of rye whiskey easing the pain. In Ireland, a bottle often stood for a confession or farewell. And in countless films, from Lost in Translation to Skyfall, whiskey is shorthand for reflection, solitude, and defiance. So, where does whiskey go next? Climate change poses new challenges. Barley yields, water sources, and cask aging all depend on stable environments. Distillers are now experimenting with sustainable practices, recycling heat, planting barley varieties suited for warmer climates, and even aging whiskey in space. At the same time, the audience is changing. Younger drinkers, more diverse and global, are reimagining whiskey as a creative, inclusive drink. New cask finishes in rum, sherry, or wine barrels are redefining flavors. Non-alcoholic whiskey alternatives are emerging for mindful consumers. But despite these changes, the soul of whiskey remains the same: grain, water, fire, and time, and shaped by human patience.